Now, gentlemen of Verona, ladies of Padua, lend me your ears. This past Monday is celebrated as Shakespeare's birthday and the day of his death, and while he found his way to dusty death at the tender age of 52, he penned a staggering 38 plays and 154 sonnets. He's been gone for almost 400 years, but of course his verse lives on, and if Joe Muldoon has his way, henceforth, we'll all speak like the bard. In an op-ed in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Muldoon argues we should pepper our everyday conversation with Shakespearean lines. And he explains how to do it. If you're looking for a biting insult, thou art a villain. Or an expression of devotion, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. The bard is your go-to guy. But since brevity is the soul of wit, let's get to it. What sayest thou? How has Shakespeare influenced your life? What's your favorite Shakespearean quotation, and do you use it in conversation? Give us a call. The number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can also comment on our blog and read the sonnet we came up with today. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joe Muldoon joins us now from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Welcome.
Hi.
So where did you get this idea to incorporate Shakespeare into your daily discourse?
Well, I have always been a great believer in interjecting references from the bard into the daily discourse. It's whenever apt or even possibly remotely apt. I keep my screensaver set for the time is out of joint, O cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right. And, you know, I kind of don the mantle of nobility there and hardly... red morning passes without me grabbing somebody by the lapel and, you know, saying, but look, the morn in russet mantle clad walks o'er the dew of yon high eastern hill.
And what do they think of that when you grab them by the lapel?
I think some people find some amusement in it. Some people find it a little disconcerting, and that can work to your benefit sometimes at, say, corporate meetings. You can just throw people off a little bit and also maybe inject a little humor.
Well, to help us all speak a little bit more like Shakespeare, we're calling in an expert. We've got Gail Pastor here. She's the director of the Folger Shakespeare Library and editor of Shakespeare Quarterly. She joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Hi, Rebecca.
So, how often?
Hi, Joe.
How often do you hear a Shakespearean phrase or analogy or allusion in just regular discourse?
I think we speak Shakespeare all the time. In fact, it's not at all uncommon for people to say, there's the rub, you know, if there's a problem, or Joe has already been quoting Hamlet, so I think we might as well continue to do that. It's just everyday discourse. It really is. And some of the things that phrases Shakespeare coined, like the truth will out, which, in fact, I think we would probably say, and assuming we were speaking proverbially, but it's Shakespeare.
And, you know, good night, sweet prince, sweet for the sweet, as long as we're in Hamlet. My salad days. It's amazing.
That's
how
Cleopatra,
once you start
actually.
Cleopatra, yes. Salad days. The other two are Hamlet. But it's remarkable how often you suddenly realize phrases that you didn't realize Shakespeare coined.
Absolutely.
You mentioned henceforth, I think you said that when we started off, and at all these meetings you hear moving forward, going forward, and I hope that tomorrow morning at NPR and NPR you abjure that usage and get to henceforth and heretofore.
Well, let's see what we can do about that. Listen, I put iambic pentameter in the billboard for this hour. I think that might be as far as we can go on NPR.
Good, Lassie. Yes. You got my vote, sister.
We have email from Christine in Kettering, Ohio, who says, one of my favorite quotes is from Macbeth, out damn spot, out I say. The reason I like it is that it slips into regular conversation by all kinds of people, many of whom I imagine do not know the origins of the famous exclamation. I just heard it from a cashier this weekend while I was out shopping. The bard lives. Gail Pastor, do you ever have people come to you for advice on adding Shakespeare to their conversation or speeches or rhetoric in some way?
Actually, I don't. But it does seem to me that that people looking for, I mean, one of the things that we do at the library, of course, is to encourage children to use and get familiar with Shakespeare's language, and we do that. It sounds like Joe's doing it also. We ask them to think up Shakespeare insults, and so we give them we give them the tools for that by saying, okay, here are the following adjectives that Shakespeare loves to use. Lily-livered, white-livered, other kinds of things. And then we give them the nouns, and we just tell them, you know, use this, use these lists and make it up. And so rabbit sucker and weasel and... and they, of course, they don't need much encouragement to use that kind of language with each other, so it's great.
Lily-livered weasel. I've got to work that into conversation somehow. This is Kathy in Boone, North Carolina. Kathy, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, I did my undergrad in English, so I was, and I, this was the 60s, so I was going to save the world by introducing the little children to Shakespeare. It didn't quite work out that way. But anyway, my usual Shakespearean thing is to say, we'll take care of it in one fell swoop.
Absolutely.
But the, well, the kicker is that my father was kind of notorious for spoonerisms. You know, when you flip the letters around, doing wordplay. For instance, when I was reading, doing British poets, he turned Byron, Sheets, and Kelly into Brian, Sheets, and, or Byron, Keats, and Shelley, I can't even say it right, into Brian, Sheets, and Kelly. But so one for me, one fell swoop, as often as not, turns into one swell foop.
Thanks, Kathy. And I'd really like to know what a foop is. Joe Muldoon, what is it about Shakespeare that speaks to you? Why Shakespeare as opposed to someone else?
You know, when I think of the short phrases of Shakespeare, they are apt and they help, but it's Shakespeare's rhythm and his sonorous tones, you know. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day. I actually like to, if I'm using Shakespeare, step out of the daily rhythms and crank it up a little bit. You know, you don't make many friends that way, but I really enjoy it.
Well, last we should year, also I, say this huh? is not just your conversation, that you bring it to life in your music, sort of beatnik style. Let's listen.
Okay, thanks.
To be and not to be. Yeah, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Joel Muldoon, do you find that Shakespeare's, you know, the iambic pentameter, whatever it is, sort of lends itself to that style of music or poetry?
Yeah, you know, I really do. I was thinking of other poets that I like a lot of Minnesota poets, but I don't go rapping them out like that. And Shakespeare just does have the... Is it always iambic pentameter, by the way?
Not when it's prose, yeah. But when it's verse, it's yeah. iambic pentameter.
Yeah, and he just has the feel. He hits the tones right. He is very musical, and his depth of vision is just astounding.
Gail Pastor, what is your favorite Shakespearean quote? Is that like asking you to choose your favorite child?
Actually, I suspect that my favorite speech from Shakespeare comes from Midsummer Night's Dream when Titania is talking about her votary and talks about she would grow wanton with the big-bellied wind and sail across the... Now, of course, I can't get it right, but it's just so gorgeous.
Let's take a call. This is Ed in Portland, Oregon. Ed, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I suppose you're wondering what my favorite quote is.
I am.
So it's, may fair thoughts and happy hours attend on thee.
And do you manage to sneak that into regular conversation?
You know, I kind of force conversation that way sometimes, a couple times a week to say goodbye.
So you manage to steer the conversation around just so you can throw that in.
Yeah, it's kind of a little dorky thing to say.
Thanks, Ed. We have email from Giles in Cincinnati who says, as a person with a long gray beard, I long to turn to someone clean-shaven and say, be hence, thou cream-faced loon, where goest thou that goose look? Which he says is from Macbeth. We also have email from Penelope in San Francisco who says, I used to get thee to a nunnery as a way to say to the moon, Alice, until I read in the footnotes that nunnery meant a house of ill repute in Shakespeare's time. Is that true, Gail Pastor?
It doesn't make any sense at all that Shakespeare should be telling Ophelia, that Hamlet should be telling Ophelia to get herself to a nunnery. I mean, he really, when he means a brothel, no, he's telling her to get to a nunnery.
An actual convent.
Yeah, he really is.
Let's take a call from Clarissa in San Francisco. Clarissa, welcome to Talk the Nation. Hi.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Thank you. I grew up in Toronto and nearby in Stratford, Ontario. Every year they do a very significant Shakespeare festival. I grew up as the daughter of two English majors, and when I was 10 years old, my parents took me to Stratford to see my first play by Shakespeare, which was Twelfth Night. To ensure that I had some understanding of it, for the week before we went to see it, every night before I went to bed, my father would read the play to me and answer all my questions and help me work through the language. One of the lines from that play remains one of my all-time favorites to this day, and it's Sir Toby Belch saying, "Some people are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them."
Clarissa, thanks for that. Is she quoting accurately, Gelpaster?
She's quoting the line. Clarissa, you'll remember that's Malvolio who is reacting to the... Actually, that's the letter that Olivia... the forged letter that he thinks is from the Lady Olivia that Sir Toby Belch and Mariah have penned. And he's being invited.
That's one of those quotations that ends up in political speeches a fair amount.
Absolutely. It ends up in political speeches all the time.
Does that bother you? Do you think that it's Shakespeare being used for the wrong means sometimes?
Shakespeare is quoted out of context so often. If you go past the National Archives in Washington, D.C., you'll see a line from The Tempest incised on the National Archives, "What is past is prologue," which is spoken, in fact, in The Tempest by one of the villains.
Do politicians ever ask you for advice on incorporating Shakespeare into their speeches?
I think they're pretty good at it because they've got the tools. You've got to reference Bartlett's familiar quotations or whatever. I mean, there's just so many ways to get at that language.
Gelpaster is director of the Folger Shakespeare Library and editor of Shakespeare Quarterly. She joined us today in Studio 3A. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And Joe Muldoon writes for the blog GodBlessTheBiker.com. His op-ed, "We Can't All Be Shakespeare, But We Could Try to Be," ran in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He joined us today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Parting, of course, such sweet sorrow. Ira Flatow will be here tomorrow. Neil Conan is back on Monday. Fare thee well, gentle rogues. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Those ills we have then fly to others we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all. And thus, the native hue of revolution is sicklied over with the pale cast of thought. And enterprises of great pitch and moment with this regard, their currents turn awry and lose the name of